It's been noted that the wish, "May you live in interesting times," has often been meant as a curse. Houston visual artist Howard Sherman chronicles the whimsy, violence, frivolity, anger, and dark humor of life in contemporary urban America in his paintings, in which he combines seemingly chaotic, thickly layered patches of color and stain with recognizable graffiti and cartoon-like images and provocative, sardonically facetious titles. When Gorillas Shoot Pigs, a collection of Howard Sherman's most recent work, is currently on view at the McMurtry Gallery. The front row's Megan Hendley met the artist in the exhibition space to find out what he's been up to lately.
Howard Sherman, we're standing in front of one of your paintings that you see immediately when you walk into the gallery space here. And your exhibition is entitled When Gorillas Shoot Pigs, which infers to me that you have an impeccable sense of humor, especially with you and your art. So tell me about the name of the exhibition and how that is working through these paintings.
The name When Gorillas Shoot Pigs, I was actually listening to some song, some rap song, sort of rap rock song by Street Sweeper Social Club. And it said something like, "And the gorillas just shot two pigs." And that resonated with me. And I normally do not have the title of the painting before I start the painting. But I like the way that sounded, and I changed it and tweaked it a little bit and said when gorillas shoot pigs. And I came up, so I ended up with a title before the painting, which is very rare. And I initially was going to make this sort of camo / HPD baby blue thing, and I thought that'd be too obvious, and then I went a whole nother route with it. The painting we're standing in front of is called Tactile Hallucination. And, you know, there's so much of that peach. It's just so wrong. It feels right.
You know, it's like an Adobe peach of like Southwestern.
Yeah, it's just so bad. It's good, you know. And using that much of it, it's in such a large amount. And it's reiterated by, a relatively strong figurative reference. I was doing a lot of sort of cartoony, abstracted explosions for a long time that felt like a big kaboom or something. But and a lot of the paintings still have that flavor, that feel to them. But with this body of work, what I kind of learned was there's ways to be bombastic and explosive without literally making some sort of an explosion. And even though that's still happening in some of the work, I've kind of figured some things out. And actually, I had my first solo museum exhibition, which was great. And I had several opportunities to go to the museum, which was the Art Museum of Southeast Texas in Beaumont, and walk through the show by myself. And it was kind of quiet. And it wasn't so much that it was a museum, but the fact that the space was different than any other spaces I'd shown in. And so spending a little time there and walking through the space, I was able to sort of realize things about the work that I hadn't been able to realize before. And one of them was, you can be very explosive and bombastic, which is something I'm interested in, without always making an explosion, you know. And I think I'm kind of twisting a lot of the different... If my visual language was filled with a bunch of different vocabulary words where a noun, what used to be a noun or used to be a verb, is now a pronoun and an adjective, I think that's what's starting to happen in the work, too. I'm kind of slicing and dicing and cutting up the deck again, you know. And it's exciting. I think this is some of the best stuff I've ever come up with. So,
speaking of those different aspects in this painting, you do have explosions, but they seemed a little bit more, I don't necessarily want to use the word controlled, but I think they're balanced well with, like, we have this streak of cranberry fuchsia purple, which is one of my, that color is just so vivid compared to the circular motion that kind of looks like an eyeball protruding out.
Sure.
Or absolutely. We have teeth or piano, we had talked about maybe with like piano keys, yeah, or different things like that. And even cartoon hands, like, and all the straight lines compared to the swashes of different colors really give you just an aural journey through your painting. So tell me about what you're thinking with these pieces or how you make the decisions to put maybe some more figurative things amongst the chaos, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And there's a strong figurative reference in a lot of this work. And I solve a lot of problems in these paintings by drawing back into them and finding figurative forms, whether it's eyes or teeth or, you know, feet or hands or arms or genitalia. That comes about much the same way the play between really hard graphic lines and swashes and gestures of color come about, which is, I don't want these paintings to sit too comfortably in one historical movement or another, because they're so overtly referencing so many. I'm laying all of my cards on the table for everyone to see. I don't really think I'm hiding too much, but if the paintings start to feel too figurative or too abstract expressionist or too neo-expressionist or too much like a Stain painting or color field painting or whatever, feels too much like one or the other, that makes me uncomfortable. I like the challenge of trying to come up with something that feels really unique and fresh, that's a real synthesis of all those different things, you know. So that is sort of how I come to it, and it's very rarely that planned out. It's kind of something that happens as the painting unfolds. My goal is to eliminate as much of a predetermined game plan as possible before I start. And hopefully, the goal of doing that is to try and come up with something that feels a little different each and every time I step up to the plate, which is known as, you know, making something new.
One of the main paintings that I gravitated towards when I was looking through the gallery is this one that we have here. It's one of the larger works. And again, we have different swashes of colors, but we have this almost a definite line of black with structured lines with a cartoon head coming out of it. I kind of think it looks like a snake.
Cool.
In a way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then some colors beneath it, and we've got neon pink and blue and yellows and such. So this one's a little different than the other one. So explain to me what you are working with on this painting.
Well, this one's called Trust Me, My Instruments Are Sterile. Again, a reference to another one of those Street Sweeper Social Club songs. I was really pleased with how the lower half of the painting resolved itself. And I was having a really hard time with the upper half of the painting. And the painting felt so incredibly sectioned off in separate parts. And I had sort of a pea green sort of pillar right here.
Uh-huh.
But then that wasn't working, and I had another artist in the studio just, ugh, that's not working, man. And so then I blacked it out along with the other areas. And then as I sat there staring at it, I realized, well, you know what? If it's going to be that sectioned off, let's just sort of play that up instead of trying to force it all together. And that's what kind of what I ended up doing. And I'd used the sort of, wherever you see like masking tape or duct tape or paper that looks like it's been taped down, it's all just paint. All these paintings are paint and marker. There's no collage. There's nothing glued down. And so I thought that putting that sort of trompe l'oeil masking tape in the upper half of the painting would sort of take it somewhere that felt a little bit fragmented or structured in a really odd, peculiar way, which is something I really liked. And so that sort of helped that come together. And then I kind of defaced it with a neon pink spray paint, which actually ends up serving as a really interesting directional device when you really spend some time with the painting, because that black reads as a bit of a neutral, and it just sort of formal structure to this particular painting that you don't really see as so much in the other work. Even in that one where things sort of, all the graphic stuff stacked at the top, it's just got a very peculiar vibe to it, this particular painting. And again, you see the teeth and the figurative reference and the eyes. And I didn't see a snake, but I think that's pretty cool. There's some unexpected moves in this painting that caught me off guard that I'm really pleased with. I really like the treatment of the tangerine against this darkish brownish black. And this was just the money shot right there, that big swatch of tangerine right there, you know. So, many, many hours are spent staring. There's not a lot. Douglas Britt, the critic from the Houston Chronicle, said something in a review they look like, at first glance, they look like they were banged out in an hour, and then you spend some time with them and you realize it's not the case. There were many, 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 many hours spent staring and sitting and thinking, and there were many hours spent trying to figure out how to get the upper half of the painting to work with the lower half of the painting. And then I ended up just throwing out that idea and just going the opposite way, which is, let's not have them work together. Let's amplify the fact that they're not working together, and maybe there is a solution that way, you know. Of course I had to totally sit there forever staring and thinking until I, you know, came up with that, you know.
Well, I think the interesting thing that you mentioned is the intellectual aspect of it, but I know that humor plays a lot in your paintings as well, and I think that that's obvious when we have these fingers that are pointing like guns or, you know, different teeth.
Flipping you off like a bird.
And how important is that? Because I guess it's almost kind of makes you chuckle when you look at it. There's a seriousness to it, but not too much at
right.
the same time.
You've got to have a sense of humor. And I don't know how what kind of artwork I'm going to be making in the future. The only thing I know is I hope that I hold on to my sense of humor. And my background's in cartooning. I was a daily comic strip cartoonist for many years.
Oh, really?
And so if there's one thing I hope I hold on to in my work, in the future, in life, is just my sense of humor, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, that's something that will hopefully continue in the work, both directly where you're seeing cartoony fingers shoot, flip you off, and also indirectly where I think they've got a playful, there's a playful ham-fisted quality to the way that they're painted, and the color palettes tend to be pretty playful and humorous, too. So directly and indirectly, hopefully humor will continue, and it's crucial to my work, you know. So the art world takes itself way too seriously most of the time. And you got to lighten up, you know.
Well, Howard Sherman, it's a great body of work. And we thank you for talking with us on the front row.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Bayou City visual artist Howard Sherman spoke with KUHF's Megan Hendley at the McMurtry Gallery, where an exhibition of Mr. Sherman's most recent paintings, When Gorillas Shoot Pigs, is on view through November 28th. We've posted links to the websites of both Howard Sherman and the McMurtry Gallery at our homepage, kuhf.org/thefrontrow.